freedom is a significant way to describe God's redemption throughout the Bible. In the story of the Exodus, God frees the Israelites from their slavery, their literal physical slavery in Egypt. In the Gospels, Jesus says that the truth shall set you free, and that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And here in our passage this morning, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes to the Galatian Christians that Jesus has set them free in order that they might have freedom. Now, freedom is kind of a buzzword in our culture today. We like to talk about our individual freedoms of speech or of religion. We talk about freedom of choice. Generally speaking, when given the choice between selecting our own path on the one hand and being told what to do on the other, we determine our own way. We prefer freedom. We prefer to determine our own course. There's a song that I've heard on the radio I don't know how many times over the last year, and I heard it just a few days ago, the song Lost Boy by the Canadian singer Ruth B. Heard it on the radio again a couple of days ago. It's a beautiful little song. Her voice is smooth and melodic. And the song is about someone who feels out of place and alone in the world, and so imagines escaping to Neverland with Peter Pan. And as a lost boy, they're encouraged to run away from reality. They find a home in Neverland, away from the real world, away from any expectations or responsibilities. And so because of that, they say, lost boys like me are free. We define freedom in terms of being able to do what we want and set our own course. So the question is, as we come to our text this morning, is that the kind of freedom that Jesus has bought for us? Is that the kind of freedom for which Jesus has freed us? Has he freed us from everyone else's expectations, and now we get to choose and plot our own path? Or maybe it's a different sort of freedom. Maybe it's an even better kind of freedom. Our passage this morning is Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verses 13 through 15. Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, open up our eyes and our minds to your word. Holy Spirit, do your work inside of us to enliven and enlighten our minds and our hearts, to hear you speak, to understand and to believe. We pray also, open up our hearts, open up our desires to want the kind of freedom that Jesus provides. A freedom that is focused on him instead of on ourselves. We pray, make us a people characterized by Christ-like freedom. Through it, help us to find joy in you and love for each other. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So clearly, we have some sort of freedom in Christ, and that freedom has a certain kind of purpose in our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. First, what freedom do we have in Christ? And then second, what is our freedom for? Okay? So first, what freedom do we have in Christ? Much of many different kinds. So let's go to a few different places to read about it. Okay? We're gonna have three basic answers to that question this morning. There are likely a few more, but we're gonna hang our hat on three of the main and important ones this morning. Okay? What freedom do we have in Christ? First, freedom from the guilt of sin. Turn back to Romans. A couple books behind Galatians in the New Testament. Romans, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Romans 8, 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now note, it says at the beginning, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for you have been set free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Okay. So the background to this passage is that we're all sinners, right? We all do things and think things and want things and say things that are self-centered, that go against God's will and God's law, that go against God's character and his love. Things that are focused on ourselves and that actually hurt other people and that offend against God. Okay. So we are all guilty with regards to the law that God has given. On our own, as we live and breathe, we are guilty. We have this record that stands against us. But Paul here in Romans chapter 8 says that because Jesus came and because Jesus died on the cross as a substitute, he has set you free from the guilt of that sin. What stood as a legal record against you has now been answered for by Jesus, who took the penalty, the sentence, death, which is due for all sin, and paid it at the cross. So your sin has already been condemned in the death of Jesus. It is now paid for, which means that you can no longer be condemned because of it if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because sin has been condemned. Your sin has already been condemned in his death at the cross. You're no longer liable for it. You no longer stand guilty before God. And you are free from the guilt and the punishment for that sin that you would have had to have borne otherwise. The righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled in Jesus, and so the law now no longer has any claim on you. You are free from the guilt of your sin. You are free from the curse of the law that comes because of our sin. Okay. Which means that no matter what you have done, and even no matter what you do in the future, sins that you bring to the cross, You need not worry about bearing the guilt of that sin on the other side of death, because that guilt has been taken away from you. You are free from it, liberated from it. A debt that has been forgiven. A sentence set aside and put on someone else. It's not your responsibility anymore. It's been taken off of you. You are free from it. Okay? That's the first kind of freedom that we have in Jesus. Freedom from the guilt of sin. We also have freedom from the bondage of sin. Go back a couple more chapters to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to read verses 5 and 6 and then 12 to 14. For if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Let not sin, therefore, down in verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Okay. Paul says something else here in chapter 6. We've been set free from the guilt of sin because of what happened at the cross. But not only that, when we believe in Jesus Christ, he sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts who goes to work on us and begins to do a work in our hearts, so that not only are we free from the legal guilt of our sin, but we can be free from the power of it over us as well. Free from bondage to our sin, free from slavery to our sin. Essentially, what it's saying is this, sort of what lies behind these few verses is this, that before we believe in Jesus, before we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the basic orientation of our lives is towards our own desires. Okay? Now, people will often do kind things, nice things for others. It's not as though we're all wretchedly evil all the time, trying to do the very worst things that we can to each other all the time before we believe in Jesus. But that the basic orientation of our hearts is towards ourselves, is to following our own desires. Paul says when we get the Holy Spirit, we can be set free from that slavery to our own will, from that slavery to our own sin. And we actually have freedom to be able to obey God, freedom to be able to love others, freedom to be able to live like Jesus. We will always do these things imperfectly on this side of heaven. We'll always do these things weakly on this side of heaven. It will always be marred by some remaining sin within us. That's always the case. We're not freed to perfection in this life. But we'll come back to this a little bit later. But suffice it to say, Paul makes it clear here that we do have the freedom to say no to sin. That is a possibility for us. Sin is no longer your true master. Your true master is Jesus. So the Holy Spirit enables us to say yes to love and to say no to sin. What sort of freedom do we have in Christ? We have freedom from the guilt of sin. We have freedom from the bondage of sin. And third, we have freedom from everlasting death and damnation. John chapter 11. John John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 23 through 26. This is the account of Jesus' encounter with Martha in Bethany after Lazarus has died and before Jesus has raised him from the dead. Starting at verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Jesus tells Martha, who already believes that her brother, Lazarus, will be raised at the last day, though Jesus is about to raise him that day, Jesus says, "You have this hope because of me. I am the life. And that all those who believe in me, even though their body will die, they will continue to live." Jesus is life even beyond death. And he says, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Which is to say, no one who believes in me will have a final and ultimate death. There will be life even on the other side of death for those who believe in me. A blessed life, a sinless life, a healthy life, an everlasting life. Where on our own, apart from Jesus doing this work for us, what we await because of our sin all by ourselves, what we await because of our sin on the other side of death is eternal death, it's damnation, it's punishment for our sins. It's the wrath of God because of our sinfulness. But Jesus says, through me, you can have the guilt of that sin taken away. You can be freed from the dominion of sin over you in this life. And you can look forward to even death not having the final say in your life. You have been set free from the fear of death because death is not the end of life. And you've been set free from the fear of damnation because by faith in Jesus, we go to eternal glory. That's the freedom we have in Jesus. Freedom from the guilt of sin, the power of sin over us, and even freedom from death and damnation. So if we have a freedom like that, what good is it for us in our lives right now? What is our freedom for? We're no longer under the law as our master. We're no longer under the law as a means to obey in order to live. We know that we can't do that. The law isn't hanging over us all of the time, reminding us of our guilt and our condemnation. That's been taken away. We have this freedom. So what's it for? Well, let's start by talking about what it's not for. Because Paul makes that clear back in Galatians 5, which is where we're going to return now. Paul makes that clear in a couple of places in Galatians chapter 5. In verse 1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Essentially, he begins by saying, Christ has set you free so that you will be free. So don't go back to what enslaved you before, which was your sinful nature, which was your desire to follow your own desires and to live according to that rule and that rule only, he says. So don't go back to that. And then he elaborates a little bit more in verse 13. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." And flesh is one of those words that gets used regularly in all of Paul's letters as a stand-in for our sinful desires. Okay. He's talking about our indwelling sin and our corrupted natures. So he's saying, don't use your freedom as a pretense to go back and continue sinning. Don't use it as an excuse to go back to to the life that you once knew. So what is it not for? It's not for returning to slavery to sin. We are free from having to obey the law as a means of justifying ourselves. We have freedom in Christ, yet we can't use our freedom as a pretense for sin. And that is very tempting. Because sometimes we will hear, "You are forgiven for every sin you have ever committed and will ever commit. You are forgiven for the sins that you don't even realize you have committed. You are forgiven for the sins that you forget to confess to God." And so we say, "Great. I can do whatever I want, and it doesn't matter. I have a get-out-of-jail-free card in Jesus." Paul says, that's not what your freedom is for. It's not for you to go back to your sin. Our freedom means that we are meant to have freedom from bondage, from slavery, to our own desires. Essentially, this means that we're no longer enslaved to our own wants. You're now free from your own whims. You're not meant to go back to living as if they are in charge of your life. You're free from having to always say yes to yourself. I want you to imagine something. Imagine a world where for you, money was never a problem, where you were independently wealthy, where it would be impossible for you to spend all of your money, no matter how lavishly you lived for the rest of your life. Imagine a world where no one ever questioned your choices, where you could do whatever you wanted and no one would say anything to you about it, where you got to do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted. Now, in such a world, how many of us might put on a ton of weight from what we ate? Or do things that were incredibly dangerous to ourselves or to others? Or hurt other people simply because we could and we'd get away with it? Or cheat on your spouse? Or shirk all of your responsibilities and just live lazily for the rest of your life? Or completely ignore other people and only take care of your own individual whims each and every day? See, this is the kind of freedom that culturally anyway, we are told we should have. The kind of freedom we should want. Where we can do what pleases us. Where we can make our own choices and set our own path. And with very few exceptions, no one should tell us that they're a bad idea. We should be supported and encouraged and empowered to make our own choices and do whatever it is that we want to do. But honestly, that sounds like slavery to me. Saying yes to whatever we want is not freedom. It's slavery. Paul says Jesus has set you free so that you need not return to that kind of slavery. We think we want complete autonomy. We think we want the power to set our own destiny, to define happiness for ourselves. A life where it is incredibly easy to always say yes to ourselves is a life where we are enslaved to our own desires. What we typically call freedom is actually bondage. But Jesus gives us something much better. So what is our freedom for? Verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your freedom exists in order to serve one another in love. And remember, we talked last week about how love and the law are friends, right? They're not enemies. That feels wrong to us. That feels counterintuitive. The law of God is cold and stingy, legalistic even, just because it's the law. Love is free. Love is about what I want in that moment. Love is about my devotion to a particular person or a particular thing. Remember last week we said love and the law are supposed to go together because love fulfills the law. Love does no wrong to another. Love is the encapsulation of the character of Jesus, and the law teaches us what true love looks like. What love for God looks like, and what love for others looks like. Jesus sets you free so you can have the freedom to obey Jesus, to follow Jesus, to become like Jesus. Not out of some slavish fear, not out of fear of condemnation, not out of fear of rejection by God, but simply out of childlike love, because he set you free through his Son. Your worries about the guilt of your sin is gone. The power, bondage, and dominion that sin had over you. The Holy Spirit has gone to work on it. You have no fear of condemnation. No worries about how you're not going to do it perfectly enough in order for God to love you. And so being set free from all of that, you get to obey him without the fear of condemnation. You get to love him and love others simply because God loved you. You have the freedom to love God and love others imperfectly and yet really and truly. You're set free from the curse of the law, from the finality of death, from bondage to sin, in order to step into who God has made you to be, his children made in his image who love him and who love each other. That's what your freedom is for. So, if you haven't known the freedom that Jesus offers yet, freedom from the guilt that you constantly feel, for the people that you have hurt, for the relationships that you've ruined, for the God that you have run away from. If you feel like you can't break free from your own desires and you are stuck in the tyranny of your own wants, come. Find freedom in Jesus, who takes away the guilt of your sin, who can break its power over you, who offers freedom from death and the gift of eternal life. You won't need to earn it. You won't need to deserve it, because you already don't, and neither does anyone else here, including and especially me. You get it as a free gift received simply by faith, by believing that Jesus came to live and die and rise for you. And then you'll have the freedom to follow him and to love others, imperfectly, yet truly. or if your faith, what you believe, your piety, your Christianity, your coming to church every Sunday, has been a way of trying to stay in God's good graces, to obey enough and do enough in order to be good enough for God to love you. If your whole system of belief has been about doing and being good enough, following the law well enough, only you find that you never quite measure up to God's holiness, then come and find freedom in Jesus. Realize that that treadmill will never take you anywhere. Find freedom from the condemnation that you feel, not through being good enough, but through the one who was good on your behalf. The one who sets you free from such effort to try to justify yourself, and who instead justifies you at the cross. Or if you believe in Jesus, and yet the freedom that you have has been used as a pretense, an excuse to return to slavery. If you've used the forgiveness that you have in Jesus as a reason for continuing in some sin, cherishing something in your life that is sinful, and yet you simply don't want to let it go, or it has a power over you, come and find the freedom in Jesus for which he set you free. Drag your sin into the light, confess it to someone. Ask for help in your fight against it. It might be awkward, it might hurt a little bit, and it might be difficult, but the freedom you will find on the other side of not having a dark secret anymore, of not being controlled by this thing that you can't seem to shake, will be far better and far greater than any small pains in the meantime. Come and find the freedom for which Christ set you free. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that by faith we are set free from the guilt of our sin, from the power of indwelling sin, from the fear of death, from the fear of condemnation. And instead, we have forgiveness. We have love. We have the freedom to love, the freedom to obey. We have the freedom of the gift of eternal life. Help us to rest in that freedom, to glorify Jesus because of it, and to live freely in the freedom for which he has liberated us, to love you and to love others. For love fulfills the law. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.